Hi, I'm Julie Wilkinson, and I'm a chartered management accountant, and I'm excited to be launching the Build and Exit podcast. This podcast is for business owners and entrepreneurs who are looking to expand their business portfolio by acquisition, or at some point in the future, want to exit their business. We're going to bring real life stories and experiences of people who have grown by acquisition, who have exited their businesses, and other areas of business such as funding and cash flows. So there'll be lots of opportunity to learn different areas of business and how you can, in the end, transition your business from a lifestyle to an asset. So look forward to seeing you soon. Hi, and welcome to the Build and Exit podcast. I'm Julie Wilkinson, and I'm your host. I'm really excited that I launched the show in 2023. I decided to launch it off the back of the work I do in my company, Wilkinson Accounting Solutions, because we work with hundreds of entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. And I felt there was a gap in the market of people just needing real life examples and stories of people who have grown through adversity, bought businesses, sold businesses, and things to look for, really, in business growth in general. So I'm really excited to have today Mina Adani. Nice to see you, Mina.
Nice to see you too, Julie.
Mina's coming on the podcast. It's a bit of a slightly different angle today, but I just think it's really important to look at people's growth in business in general and how, if something goes wrong, we can move through those barriers. And Mina's story is quite inspirational. She's a qualified lawyer solicitor in the UK and US, decided to transition industry to sales and marketing. And through that time, sort of gave responsibility of an investment management to sort of someone close to her. She was too busy to manage it. And I suppose ultimately the investment was not legitimate and she lost the money, hit rock bottom, and then has sort of grown now to sort of be an international speaker, mentor, corporate trainer, and is hitting seven figures. So I'm really excited to have Mina on the show. So tell us a bit about yourself, Mina, why you decided to come on the podcast.
I'm excited too, Julie. As you know, I work predominantly with women and women entrepreneurs. And I think that every one of us go through adversity in our lives. And the greatest blessing is when you can use your adversity to add value to people so that people can be impacted by your story. And so this is why it's a pleasure for me to be here, because I know that there are many people in the world who go through difficulties, whether it is financial or otherwise. But I am hoping that through this conversation, people can walk away with either tips or some kind of a shift in the way they look at their life and find a way to have the courage to keep going.
Yeah, definitely. And I think let's start right back at the beginning, because I suppose just transitioning industry can be quite hard for people. So I know you were quite a successful solicitor or lawyer in the UK and US. So what made you take a transition from that industry to sales and marketing in the first place?
So, you know, at first I was a lawyer. I worked as a lawyer for many, many years. I was qualified in the UK and in New York. And initially I started at private practice, then I moved into in-house. Now, working for companies in-house as a lawyer was an immense opportunity for me to get into business, because when you are an in-house lawyer, especially the company I worked at, which was MTV, I was responsible for business and legal. And that was a great way for me to segue into business. And this is how I learned a lot about business, about marketing, about sales. And over the years, as I started helping the different departments hit their revenue targets and close the deals, I realized that why am I sitting behind the desk stuck drafting the document and them getting the credit for the work that I did, whereas I actually really enjoyed the business and marketing aspect of it. So that's why I decided to transition, because I really enjoy the business aspect to it. So from there on, it became a natural transition for me to be doing this for myself when I stepped out of corporate.
And so that's interesting. So you were sort of doing, I suppose, in the legal industry. How easy was it to get involved in the business side of the company? Because is that something you had to sort of push through barriers to do, or did it kind of naturally fall?
Because my department was known as business and legal, and I was reporting to New York, we were mandated to first and foremost think of every deal from a business standpoint, whether that deal was not only strategic, but whether that deal was beneficial to the company as a whole. And because I was already put in that position, it was easier for me to approve or not approve or change deals, bearing in mind the end goal. I think if I was just put in a legal department where I wasn't given the ability to think from a business perspective, it would have been a lot more challenging. But I was very fortunate that my department was known as business and legal. And so it was easier for me to be able to get exposure and get involved in the business.
A bit of a learning curve there, maybe for businesses that maybe silo their staff too much in areas. So, okay, so you transitioned into this sales and marketing role. And I know you said to me that in this role, you were quite busy and obviously earning six figures or so, so some spare money. So what happened then leading on to this sort of investment that went sour?
I think I'll just give a bit of context so that people can understand a little bit more about the story. So I come from a very traditional family. My family, at least when I was growing up, I was one of seven girls and one boy. And growing up, I did not see any female role models who were financially independent. In fact, I was told as a child that my future or my destiny was to be married off at the age of 17. And that was something that really didn't align with me, even though I was 12. I just knew that I was created for something bigger. And I knew that it's not possible that God created me to just listen to my dad until I'm 17. And then after 17, listen to my husband and then die. I'm like, there has to be a bigger purpose in my life. So because of that, I had to, from the age of 12, almost hustle. I just kept hustling because I knew that in order for me to get my dad's approval to get educated, I'd have to be one of the best students. And so I kept hustling my entire life. And it's different for people who get things on a platter and as if education was taken for granted. But for me, I had to literally fight for it. And so I think that formed my perception or my way of being of constantly working hard, always needing to overachieve because I knew it was only then that I was able to get what I want or do what I wanted to do. So when I was already in corporate and making multiple six figures, through the journey of transitioning from a law firm to going into, even though it was a company and going in-house as a lawyer, it was already a very big shift. And then from there, going into marketing and sales was also a big shift because at every juncture, I constantly needed to prove myself. Every company I worked for expected me to have a resume that was aligned with what they expect for that role. But my resume was very different. And some companies obviously viewed that as, wow, this is amazing. You have a cross spectrum of experience. Some colleagues of mine didn't really think so. So I constantly got in that place of needing to work really hard and, prove myself. And then when my last role, when I found out when I lost all my finances, I was the chief marketing officer and chief content officer of one of the largest cable companies in Indonesia, which is public listed. And so being a woman who is at the board level, and there were 12 people at the board, 9 men and 3 women. So for me to come from where I came from and to get to where I got to was a pretty huge deal. But I constantly felt the need to prove myself. I constantly felt the need to constantly work hard so that I could maintain this position, so I could achieve the goals that I wanted to achieve. And as a result of that, I didn't have any time or capacity to think about my investments because I was way too, quote unquote, busy. And so that's why I kind of handed that responsibility to someone else who assured me that it was going to be a safe investment. It was going to be not risky. And I even kept reiterating that I don't want to take any big risks. And he kept telling me that, no, it's okay. It's not risky. It's safe. Anytime you need your money back, you can get your money back. But it didn't work out that way. I ended up getting a call on the 31st of July 2016, being told that everything that I had to my name was gone, 100% of it. And so I can't even begin to describe what I went through because the emotions is almost cyclical. At first, it's like, no, this is not happening. No, this is a dream. No, this is not a dream. In fact, a nightmare. No, this is a nightmare. This is not real. And then like a million questions racing through your head and the shock and then the anger, the frustration. the blaming, the self-blame, you know, it's this entire vicious cycle that I went through after that loss.
And when you say you lost, I mean, everything, were you still in your corporate job? Did you?
Yes.
So you was in I your was still in my corporate job. You were in your corporate job.
But basically I was 46 and all the money that I saved until I was 46 was gone.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it's like, that was the time that I really understood what that money meant to me. You know, usually we think like money is just our ability to live a certain lifestyle. But for me, after that financial loss, I realized that the reason I was hit much harder than anyone would be is because of a number of reasons. One, I worked so hard. I constantly went against the norm and against the, you know, usual social expectations of what a woman should be and how I should live my life. And because of having to work that hard, I felt like it was almost my reward on, you know, in the first place. And then the second place, I felt as if through that journey of needing to achieve my goals, I had to block out so many naysayers. I had to block out the expectations that was imposed on me, the projections of people, because again, like I said, it was very, very rare. Almost, I didn't see anybody as a woman in my culture who was educated or financially independent. So I literally had to block out so many expectations, judgments, and comments. And so that money for me represented a reward at the end of the dark tunnel. And then the third thing it represented was security, knowing that I didn't have to depend on someone else financially as expected by my culture. My culture expected that it's okay, you can look pretty and just get married. And for me, it's like, no, having the financial freedom meant I get to live the life that I want, not based on someone else's expectations. So in every aspect, I felt the loss was really huge, not just in terms of money, but also in terms of that level of security that I felt I needed.
So obviously, this is a massive shock that you've now lost everything. And I suppose I know what you mean. Suddenly you think, oh, I've got this security. And I suppose that security feeling's gone. And that's a scary place to be in.
Yeah.
How did you start to... Because obviously transitioned a few years forward and now you're a seven-figure, not employed sort of coach, trainer. So you've transitioned your lifestyle. But I suppose going from there to here, how did you start that turnaround mindset, I suppose, of feeling going from the fear to start building yourself back up?
Yeah. At first, it was more, I had to first absorb that this has happened. And it took a long time, a really long time. My job was a saving grace because I could hide behind it. It kept me occupied. And interestingly enough, the day that I got a call where he told me that I lost my money, the week before I had just been promoted to chief marketing officer. I was chief content officer, but I got promoted to chief marketing officer as well. And so I knew with a big role, I really needed to work hard. But with this financial loss, I was finding it so hard to focus. But interestingly, there were times in meetings that I would just cry and nobody noticed. Nobody. And I thought that was quite interesting.
I just have to ask that. So you were in meetings with other people crying and nobody said anything. They didn't notice.
They didn't notice. And in a way, I'm really glad. I'm really glad they didn't notice because we were talking and suddenly I just started crying. But I mean, I didn't burst out. I didn't make any sound. But, you know, my tears started flowing. And then I just kind of like I said, I got to go to the bathroom and then I would go and I come back. And it's not that people were pretending. They were not. They just did not know. And so I felt like it was always a blessing that people didn't notice because it would be hard for me to explain about what I went through at a personal level when I had just been promoted. And these meetings are with people who are my subordinates in many of the meetings, you know. So first, it was going through that entire cycle, having the victim mindset and a million questions in my head. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And all of that. And then suddenly, you know, like there were times, because I used to be a gymaholic and until now I am, but I used to go to the gym every day after work. And there were days after this happened, there were days I did not want to go to the gym. I would just go to a friend's house. I would sit at my friend's house and have a glass or two of wine and I would cry. There were days that I would force myself to go to the gym, even if it means that while I was doing my weights, I would just crumble and fall on the floor and start crying. I just somehow said to myself, you know what? All you got to do, Mina, is keep showing up. You do not have to have everything figured out. Just keep showing up. So every morning when I open my eyes, I would be like, okay, is this the nightmare that I'm waking up to, or was that the nightmare that I dreamt about? And then suddenly I realized this is a nightmare I'm waking up to. And then I'd have this wave of like sadness. This happened, of course, days, weeks, months. But as I started just taking one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other, okay, you don't have to figure it out. Just brush your teeth. Okay, you don't have to figure it out. Just get ready for work. Like, as I started doing this, I realized that there was some power in it. And then after that, I said to myself, what if? And I remember the story. So 10 years before that, I remember going to a bar with a friend of mine. She was also Indian and she was married, but she was a divorcee. And we went to a bar and she saw another Indian man in a bar who was dancing with someone who was of a different race. And so she started saying really horrible things about that race. And I kept wondering, why does she have so much prejudice against someone she doesn't know? I didn't understand that. And as I got into a story, I realized that the reason she was so upset about that woman's background was because her ex-husband cheated on her with someone of that background.
Right.
And that story stayed in my head. And I promised myself that I will never allow my past to make me bitter. Because 10 years later, when you are still bitter about something that happened 10 years ago, I just decided in that moment in time, I didn't want to be like that. So after I went through this financial loss, after a few months, it finally dawned on me that one day, whether I like it or not, this story is a major part of my life. It's up to me whether I'm going to talk about the story as somebody who's a victim, or am I going to talk about the story as if that was the best thing that happened to me? So when I realized I had that choice, I asked myself these questions. What would it be like? What would it be like if you said, I made more money than I lost? What would it be like if you said, what was meant to break me actually made me? What would it be like? So I played with that idea. And in fact, at one point, while I was going through this like rage, I even Googled, what is the meaning of life? I even Googled. I was like, what is the point of any of this, you know? I kind of went into this rabbit hole of understanding the laws of the universe and manifestation and all of that. And that's when I started deciding that, you know what, if I can't change things in my outer world, I want to change things in my inner world. And when I change things in my inner world, it is going to impact what I create on the outside. So that's when I started going more deeper into becoming much more aligned with spirituality, with mindset, with manifestation. And that's how I started transitioning.
Yeah, I know, because I've been on that journey myself the last sort of 12 to 16 months.
Wow.
I started to do meditation and manifestation sort of around Jan 23. And I also, funnily enough, I did a bit of trauma healing last year in 23, because when I was 14, my mum died. And
wow.
When I did this trauma healing, they looked at sort of our emotion. They did like emotional, looking at your unconscious mind effectively and how it deals with past traumas effectively.
Yeah.
And to cut a long story short, what I realized from that was it made me realize that if you've been through, I suppose, the biggest trauma or loss in your life of whatever that is to you, and you get through it, it doesn't really matter. It means you'll always get through it. So even if you lost everything tomorrow, then you can always build back up. Because I never really thought about it like that when like my mum died. Oh, did I lose everything? I suppose you don't really think, you just carry on, don't you? But that made me really realize that was one of the best things that I ever did, I think, to sort of realize. So I do that now. So every morning when I wake up, the first thing I do, because sometimes you do have overshadowing doubts that come over you. The first thing I always do is switch my mindset every morning. I think of three things I'm grateful for, because I think if I start my day, because every little thing sometimes can get you down. And sometimes if you're going through a bit of a bad spell, things can get exaggerated a little bit, you know, even if it seems really bad. It probably isn't that bad in the grand scheme of a lifetime of changes that you can make. So, I definitely resonate. It's one of the reasons I wanted you to come on the podcast, because I think it's really important not always just to talk about business, but to talk about like our minds and our healing abilities and how we pick ourselves up.
I think there is such a strong link between your self-worth and your net worth. And this is something most people don't talk about. Yesterday, I had a meeting with one of the big accountancy firms in the world. And we were talking about people's skills and development. And I was told that, you know, we don't really do a lot of trainings on the soft skill. We do more training on the hard skill. This is what I was told. And I was like, okay, I'm really interested to know, how do you make sure that you're getting the most out of your people? How do you make sure that you are maximizing and leveraging on like opportunities? Because if people are your assets or your human capital, how are you making sure that you are maximizing and leveraging on their potential? And, you know, so it became a really interesting conversation about people development, motivation, you know, creating a vision for people and stress. We even talked about stress, because what we don't realize is 90% of doctor visits are based on stress, whether it's heart or whatever it is, it's all stress. And literally all you need is 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day to manage your mindset. And it will change anybody's life, whether it is stress, whether it is a health, whether it is happiness. And of course, at the end of the day, that impacts the business as well.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, we do well-being internally for our staff. So
fantastic.
So you've obviously taken these steps towards transitioning. What, I'm presuming then you left this corporate job of sales and marketing, sort of. So how did that transition go from you sort of deciding to make that step between leaving that and where you are now, which is, I suppose, doing your own thing and more training and speaking to other people?
What was really interesting is, I think, like, and I hear people say this a lot, but when you look at your own life, I'm sure you will see evidence of it. You know, when you are somehow, when you've somehow been able to work through your resistance, and when you somehow have a bigger vision than a vision for yourself, somehow I find doors are open, opportunities come to you. In my case, what happened was, when I went through this difficulty, I don't know why, but I had this like really deep intuition that I should start writing on social media. I didn't know anything about coaching. I didn't know anything about a world of like being able to make money from this. I didn't know anything. All that was happening was that, because every day I was learning so much and growing so much about managing my emotions, managing my mindset, about like, you know, healing, about like manifestation. I was learning so much. I was learning rapidly every day. And I felt I needed a creative outlet. And I didn't want to, at first I started writing on my Facebook, and then I kind of felt shy because, you know, you have all your friends and your family. So I thought, okay, how about if I create a little group? So I created a little group of my friends, and I started writing about daily things that I felt people struggled with, which was happening to me. So anything that I learned that day, I would write. So for example, if someone got really upset and triggered, and it's like what you call nowadays people who are toxic, I would write an article or post about, you know, how do you deal with people who are hot-tempered? And then, or like, well, how do you get through your day when you feel something? So I would write different posts. And over time, I had people, women, sending me messages on Facebook saying, first of all, like people I didn't know because my friends added their friends. People would message me saying, that really helped me. And it's so interesting because the stories are different, but the challenges are similar. So my challenge was financial loss, and I didn't openly talk about it. But if I talked about how to get through something, I would get a message from a woman saying, I'm going through postnatal depression and your post really helped me. So things like that, I thought, wow, this is really interesting. So I kept just doing that. And then after like, I don't know, a month or two, I get a message from a friend of mine who is really terrible at like commenting or anything. She sends me a WhatsApp message and she says, you know, how are you, everything? And she said, I'm so inspired by what you write every day. And she said, there is a company looking for somebody who could advise them on a marketing basis to grow their business. And she said, I already have my hands full. Would you be interested? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I didn't think much of it. I was like, yeah, sure. And then she put me in touch with this company, which is more a restaurant-based business. And I didn't come from a restaurant background. But at the end of the day, business is business, marketing is marketing. So I looked at what was the bottleneck in the business. I gave them some advice on what they should be doing in order to increase their revenue. And it was the first client I ever had. And interestingly enough, they actually implemented everything I advised them. By the time I met them the following month, their revenue had gone up by 35%. And that's when I was like, oh my God, wow, I've got this, I can do this. Because, you know, that entire period also taught me that I needed to believe in myself, because I didn't realize my entire life I was playing the role that was projected on me, that I should not speak up too much because, you know, you're a woman, you shouldn't speak up too much, you shouldn't be too powerful, you shouldn't be this, you shouldn't be that. So I had this identity crisis in my head. In corporate, I was powerful, but at home, I had to be like very, you know, quiet. But this entire financial loss taught me how I needed to be much more aligned with my own power. And when I realized that the evidence was there for me to be able to help businesses grow, and I kept telling myself, how much more proof do you need that you can help people make money? And so one of the things I did as well was I created a vision board on my phone. I didn't do anything fancy. I just put pictures on my notes, you know? And I knew that I needed a vision in the future, because if I kept going to the past, I would not overcome what I went through. So I asked myself, what is the most tangible goal you can have in the future? And I said, I would love to have a villa in Bali. If I have a villa in Bali, I will think I have arrived. I'll think I have succeeded. So I put a picture of Bali in my phone. And every now and then I would just look at it and I'm like, I know I'm going to own a villa. I believed in it so much that even though I didn't have the money, I even spoke in the Ubud Writers Festival in Bali. When I went to Bali to speak, I lined up two or three agents and asked them to show me villas. I didn't even think about where the money was going to come from. I just said, I want to see villas. And by then, they started understanding my taste, what I like, what I don't like. And in 2 years, when I went back, I found the villa that I knew I meant to buy. And up until then, I did not want to check my bank account because I was too scared. And because I put in the offer, I said to myself, I really need to see if I have the money, you know? And then I kind of like put it off. The agent kept chasing me. And then I was like, okay. And then the next day, I sat next to the pool in Bali and I'm like, I have to do this. I got to look at my account. So I had three different accounts. So I got a notepad out and a pen. And I'm like, okay, let me just check my different accounts. And I wrote all the balances and I tallied it up. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I have hit seven figures, you know, and I did not even know. So after that, or after I bought my villa, somehow I just no longer was the same person. I mean, not because of the villa, but that entire journey of growth and surrender and trusting and being more aligned and healing from the traumas and holding myself accountable without blaming others and blaming myself. That entire journey changed me so much as a person that somehow my vision became greater. And I just said, if I could build success twice, imagine what's possible for other women. So yeah. That's why I decided to step out of corporate.
Well, thanks so much, Mina, for sharing. I think it's a really inspirational story and I can relate to some of it, not necessarily the financial issue itself, but I think the reality is we all go through issues, adversities, problems, whatever you want to call them. And I think, like you say, having a mindset and being able to come over that is probably the most important thing. For all of us, and looking forward more than backwards. It's definitely something that I do. I've actually just ordered my new whiteboard so I can put my vision on the board, which I'm quite excited about, actually. So yeah. So anyway, I just want to say thanks so much for sharing your story. I know that people find it inspirational. And I just want to say thanks to all the listeners. We have our new YouTube channel, the Build and Exit podcast. So hit the subscribe button if you love our channel so more viewers can find it. And I'll see you again soon.
So once again, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to our podcast. I hope you found it useful. If you think there's anyone else in your network that might benefit from our podcast, then please share it with them. Either just click the link and send it to them, or send it in a Facebook group or other social media channel. Don't forget to subscribe so other podcasts come to you directly as and when we launch them. So I'm really looking forward to seeing you next time. We've got some really exciting things coming up, and we'll see you again soon.